Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lab Podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today we're talking about a comment of Franz Tost, a crash even before the season started, and the possibility that Wöhrlein might miss out on pre-season testing. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Vogel. Hello everyone! Franz Tost dominated the headlines this week with a comment about the current state of the F1 engines. And yeah, he suggested that the Mercedes engine should actually be frozen because of their power advantage. Yeah, Fergal, what do you think about that suggestion?
I'll be honest, when I first heard it, I just had to laugh. I mean, yeah, what an outrageous comment to make. Fans really are just complaining that that the sport today is too artificial. And something like this is just, you know, it's not the way to go. Sure, the Mercedes engine is so much more powerful than the rest, but I mean, to freeze it completely and just do that and let the others catch up, it's wrong, and it's not going to happen anyway. No way would it happen, and I don't even know why he bothered to suggest it, to be honest.
Yeah, in the introduction, my comment might have been a bit wrong, because actually, of course, the power advantage is one thing, but also he said that it would be a good thing because it would save the teams a lot of money. So the question really is, would that really be a way to freeze the Mercedes engine and, well, later on then maybe all the other engines? Would that be a way to save costs, really?
I'm not sure, but like, at the end of the day, with the current state that the sport is in, not just for the teams but for the fans as well, I mean, I think the fans are just as important, because without fans, there's no way the teams can make money in the first place, you know. So I'm pretty sure fans would be outraged if they found out that Mercedes engines were to be frozen to let the others catch up. It's not the way it's done. And F1 has always had periods of dominance. I mean, you look at the early from 2000 to 2004, Ferrari pretty much dominated throughout all of there, although Kimi Raikkonen came close in 2003. And if you go back through F1 history, there's always been periods of dominance, and you let it ride out itself. You let the way Formula One flows to flow, and you don't interfere with it artificially. I don't think it's too wrong, and I mean, there's so much other ways of saving money for teams. There's been a lot of talk of budget caps lately and cost cutting, especially with Liberty Media's introduction, because they've been very interested in budget caps. So we could see something like that coming in the next couple of years. I say the next couple of years because it's not really going to be this year or next season, perhaps maybe 2019 maybe, but there's a lot of other ways to save money, so I wouldn't like it for Mercedes to freeze their engines.
Yeah, the best comment I read, I think, or heard, was, well, then Red Bull's aerodynamics should be frozen. You know, like, take the best things of the teams and freeze it. It's not really a fair comment, as you said, but in general, I'm thinking a few years back, when you look at 2011, for example, yeah, the FIA was very quick actually in reacting to the Red Bull innovation of the blown diffuser and banned it the next season. With Mercedes now, I mean, they're 14, 15, 16, they are now 3 years in front, really, with a massive advantage, and we haven't seen anything in the direction of blocking anything, banning anything. So why do you think is that? Or how can we compare that to the Red Bull days, and maybe even the days before that, where the FIA was, or where they pretty much blocked or banned things that gave an advantage to some teams?
Well, actually, we have seen something done for this season. The power units are there's basically a set part of the power unit given to each team. It's something to do with I'm not entirely sure what it is. It's something to do with pressure or something like that. That the FIA grant the teams this or and I think there's like a minimum weight on the MGUH and the MGUK. All working towards, I guess, allowing other teams to make progress on it. But they're not major changes to automatically help a team, a power unit supplier like Honda catch up to Mercedes instantly, you know. So, yeah, I mean, regulate. I think something that I think it was I can't actually remember who it was. Maybe Rob Smedley, I think it was, said it. That the regulations are so much more harder to find loopholes in. You know, it's so much difficult to find loopholes now because the sporting regulations change. Sorry, the technical regulations change every single year, and the FIA are they're always tweaking things and doing things like this. And yeah, I think it was Smedley that said it's just so difficult these days to try and find a loophole in regulations to like Red Bull did in 2011 with that diffuser. And even if again if you go back through history, there's engineers have always been finding loopholes and exploiting them and making sure that they got their best car. And we even seen already this year, what was it to do with the Ferrari when they what did they want banned or try to get banned or something?
Yeah, it was the suspension system of the Red Bulls and the Mercedes, but apparently they aren't affected. Well, in my opinion, or what some F1 tech people say, they are affected, but we'll see that in the beginning of the season. And of course, we had that thing with the preloaded start. Did you read that story?
Yeah, I'd seen it briefly, yeah.
Yeah, and basically, yeah.
I mean, I'm not. I'm not really sure how that kind of came to be because I thought it was already clamped down on already. Yeah, but again, there's always these things that the FIA are trying to clamp down on just to make sure that teams don't go against the technical regulations.
Yeah, and talking about loopholes, I think one team that would really need to find a loophole is actually Ferrari. I mean, last week I read a translation of an Italian article that rumored that the data from the wind tunnel isn't really showing good data for the car, and it's that yeah they are a bit in a tr they've got a bit of. Yeah, they're not quite sure about their performance compared to any to all the other guys, and but that's only a rumor. And adding to that, they had also a bad test last week. Of course, Vettel did a tire test for Pirelli with the new 2017 tires in Fiorano, I think it was. And actually, he managed on a wet track. He managed to bin the car. So, what can we learn from that? Are Pirelli wet tires still no good, or
Yeah, they've never really been well. Depends how you like Pirelli tires, but a lot of people would claim that they've never really been that great at all. But yeah, it yeah Vettel just seems he was yeah well he was testing his testing the modified 2015 car I think it was,
yep.
and yeah apparently according to him he just lost control and went into the barriers and. Kind of embarrassing actually because the Pirelli had to scrap the whole test. I think
Yeah.
Giovinazzi was meant to take over the car the next day, but yeah he didn't get that opportunity, so that was unfortunate for him. And yeah I guess I'm not really sure what kind of an impact it will have because of course, the more testing you have, the more effective all the data is, and the more knowledge you have. But especially with these new spec tires, there needs to be a lot of testing on them. And I mean, I guess when there might be a couple of wet days throughout the 8 days of testing we have, of the official preseason testing for all teams. So they could get some more data there. But yeah, I'm actually quite embarrassed for Vettel because it's really unusual to see that happen. I guess you don't really see many crashes during tests, even preseason tests. You don't. You maybe see like a car stopping on track, but you don't really normally see a crash. Although actually, I do remember. I think it was either last season or the season before. I think it might have been the season before, where there was a test and a Williams and a Sauber actually collided on a track in a
Yeah,
preseason.
wasn't that Susie Wolf,
Yeah,
actually?
I think it was
Yeah.
I think it was Susie Wolff and Adrian Sutil. So that must have been 2014.
Yeah, right. Yeah, 2014, that was Suttle driving. Yeah, I can remember something like that. And but other than that, there were only failures. I can remember some. When was I think it was Vettel in 2014 where he had his ERS failure in turn one Bahrain or something, where he went off track. But yeah, generally, as you said, normally you wouldn't expect a car to crash in testing, especially when testing only tires, not performance or anything. So yeah, you never know. Maybe he overestimated the grip from the car. It's with that modified 2015 car. I don't know how much downforce they added. I think they wanted to replicate the 2017 regulation, so it must have been quite a bit of downforce. So yeah, maybe it was something, or it had something to do with that. But talking
Yeah, but
about,
actually, sorry,
yeah.
just before you go on, I actually just wanted to mention, actually, this just came to me here. What makes that, I'm sorry if I'm annoying any Vettel fans here, but what makes this even more embarrassing for him, the track was artificially made wet. You know, it wasn't like they were waiting there for rain to arrive, and then when it did arrive, they just went out on track. You know, they put water on the track, and they would have made sure that there was enough water to get a sufficient testing, but not enough water so that the track wasn't undrivable. So yeah, I mean, it wasn't the track wasn't overly wet like we saw maybe in Brazil of last year, where there was lots of drivers going off because it was like driving through a river. So yeah, I mean, I'm sorry if I'm annoying any Vettel fans right now, but yeah, I just think it's very, very strange of him. To have an accident like that, especially in a test.
So basically, they installed the Bernie sprinkler system on the Fiorano track.
Yeah, maybe.
So now let's move on. And talking about crashing, let's talk about Pascal Wehrlein and his crash. Basically, yeah, the teammate actually of Sebastian Vettel in the Nations Cup of the Race of Champions, and we talked about Wehrlein's crash already, but now there's e or there are even some rumors that Wehrlein might miss out on, well, at least a few days of preseason testing because his neck is not too well at the moment.
Yeah, of course his crash at the Race of Champions, if maybe
And that,
someone,
and in my opinion, that was even more embarrassing than what Vettel did there.
yeah, probably. But yeah, maybe if anyone didn't see it, basically what happened was he came out of the final corner of the track and understeered and hit Felipe Massa's car and basically rolled over. And yeah, apparently, I mean, we got the word straight away that he was fine, but then it seems further on, sorry, their tests on him reveal that he's not 100% fit again, which is yeah, sort of worrying, I guess. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt for him coming in for the first race of the season, but yeah, it is quite concerning. I mean, I'm not really sure how strict the preseason schedules are for drivers, because let's say if he was due in the first week, maybe Marcus Ericsson has to do the 2 weeks now, or maybe they're able to switch around for Ericsson to the first week and Wehrlein to the second week. But yeah, it was kind of unexpected. I thought he was okay after the crash.
Yeah, and getting to know that, you even question how the passenger is feeling right now, because, I mean, the passenger wasn't a trained racing driver, you know, his neck must have been even more weak.
Yeah, I think I actually put out a tweet about that when the news emerged. It seemed like I was the only person thinking of the the passenger. Again, it is worrying, because of course with the new regulations, the drivers are expected to, their fitness is meant to be much, much higher because of all the G forces, and their necks are meant to be much stronger. So you'd really want to maybe question, is he getting enough training now? And also, if his neck is still in pain, he won't be able to train it properly. Yeah. And perhaps, you know, he might suffer a little during the first few races of the season. So,
Yeah, we'll find out about that in a few days, actually. And Sauber announced that they will show us their car in, yeah, now exactly in 8 days, on the 20th of February. And I'm really looking forward to all the car reveals. And yeah, but before that, we've got something else to do now. Driver of the weekend. We discuss which driver showed the best performances in practice, quali, and race. So actually, my driver of the day is Max Verstappen. What do you say, Fergal?
Who else? He did a great job.
Yeah, it was awesome. You know, the training in the winter break, very good job by Max Verstappen, the driver of the weekend of the off season. Very good job there.
Yeah,
I cannot wait for Australia and the news that Max Verstappen is again driver of the day.
Yeah, it's gonna happen, folks. You know, get your voting ready. But I think we should start to boycott the Verstappen vote, and it still wouldn't work. Of course, he'd become driver of the day even if he took out all 21 drivers and then, you know, crash himself. He'd still be if he did a Maldonado, let's say, he'd still be driver of the weekend.
Yeah, he'd be driver of the weekend because he entertained us all, you know.
Exactly.
and with that being said, I hope you have a very good week, and I hope you join us again next week. Goodbye.
Wherever you are listening, we would really appreciate your feedback by commenting or rating the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week. Goodbye.